Well, a lot of you come up to me after the service this morning and says, you know what, I really want to hear what you have to say tonight about this ridicule thing and how to handle it. Well, you don't do it with a fist fight, okay? Don't do that. I have been in some situations where I thought a fist fight was about to break out, and yes, I am talking about church conferences. I really am. I have had in church conferences tonight. I told you this morning I wasn't going to share a lot of these stories, but some of them are just unbelievable. Well, no, they're not. They're not. I've actually had people throw their Bibles in pews and run out the back door of the church during church conferences, mad as a wet setting hen. If you've ever seen a mad wet setting hen, then you know what I'm talking about. About back there where Brother David's sitting, I had a man one night. He said, "I can't stand this," and threw his Bible, and out the back door of the church he went. You know, just praising God. Woo! Like I told y'all this morning, you know what? I've always thought that when I went into the ministry, I honestly believed that, man, you know, people in the church, now they're supposed to do what the Word of God says. That's just it. You know, I'm supposed to stand up and preach the Word, and everybody's supposed to, you know, just fall right in line with what the Word of God says and go on and praise the Lord and hallelujah, amen, and all that good stuff. And, oh boy, was I wrong. Man. Heard a preacher say this one time. He said the meanest person he ever seen in his life never missed a church business meeting. Ever. First church I ever pastored, I had one man sit in church. He voted against everything. I'm not joking. He voted against everything because he didn't think everybody, it ought to be unanimous. He just voted against it, vote against it. You again? I'm against it. Yep, I'm against it. Why? Well, somebody's got to be against it. Well, no, you know what? Ridicule comes in all kinds of shapes and forms, doesn't it? I guess you know what hurts the most is when people say stuff against you. Now that hurts, don't it? There's things that people said about you here tonight, may have said 10, 15, maybe even 20 years ago, but you remember it like it happened 20 seconds ago, don't you? Still remember it. I'll be the first one to tell you, some of you sit down and talk to me about this, you know, about far as forgiveness and forgetting. You may forgive, but I don't think you'll ever forget. I just don't. I'll debate that with you if you want to after the service. I mean, I really will. I don't think you'll be able to forgive and move on, but you won't forget. I'll never forget the knife my wife, a pastor in a church. I was pastor, preacher boy, preaching church, pastor in church. Never forget the night my wife got cussed out by a young person. Never forget that. You don't forget stuff like that. I never forget the night the same thing happened and, I could hear after I picked up the phone the second time, I said, I'm going to get in it. I picked up the phone the second time it rang and I could hear this girl, she was cussing in the top of her lungs to me. And what was sad about it, I could hear her mother in the background telling her what to say. Ridicule. I understand this. I understand as a pastor, been in this now 17 years. I don't know a lot about, still don't know a lot about preaching. No amens there, please. I still don't know a lot about preaching. I still don't know a lot about pastoring. I really don't. I really don't. I got a lot to learn. A lot to learn. But you know what? I've learned this. I mean, I've learned this in those 17 years. Boy, I tell you what, they watch preacher boy. They watch preachers. I was kidding with somebody just for the service. They watch preachers. They watch what he dresses, how he dresses. They watch, believe this or not, y'all sitting down for this, they watch what he drives. Oh, yeah. They watch what he drives. I have actually heard two sides of that. I've actually heard to the point where people say, you know what, somebody, a pastor, pull up car, brand new car. Oh, let's just go hog wild tonight. Brand new, Well, let's go. Yeah, let's do that one. Brand new Mercedes-Benz compressor. Oh, yeah. Candy apple red. Yeah. Leather bucket seats. Oh, yeah, that's nice, ain't it? Well, you know what? There ain't no reason that a preacher should have something like that. We must be paying him too much money. I've heard just the opposite of that as well. My gracious. Man, he is driving a piece of junk. It is a shame to know that he is our pastor. I've heard that one. Can I share this one with you? Your pastor standing before you tonight, my home church. Before I went into the ministry, I'll never forget our pastor. He bought him a brand new, right off the showroom floor, fully loaded. Oh, I mean, it was beautiful. Toyota four-wheel drive with the, they didn't have the quad cabs in. They just had the little back door, you know, you could open, had the bench in there. And I'll never forget, your pastor said this. What in the world does a preacher need with a brand new four-wheel drive Toyota pickup truck? I remember saying, I said it. You know what? After I matured a little bit in my Christianity, I realized this. It didn't make a hill of beans if he pulled up my Rolls Royce. If that's what he wanted, hey, go for it. Personally, I don't like Rolls Royces. I made the comment here a few months ago. My dream car, and my dream car. You know, we're Americans. We like cars and everything like this. My dream car. I'd love to have a Lamborghini. Oh yeah, V12 engine, top out about 210, straight out. Oh yeah. I don't need that because y'all have to come see me in jail somewhere or something. All those speeding tickets. Never forget, I had somebody come up there, and says, "Well, we got you a Lamborghini." I said, "Really?" "Yeah, hold on just a second." They pulled it out of their pocket. It was a Matchbox Lamborghini. I still got it sitting right in there on my shelf in my office. You know what? Ridicule, but see, the stories I just shared with you, those happened years ago. But I can remember them like they happened 5 seconds ago. You don't forget ridicule, do you? You don't forget it when somebody laughs at you, somebody pokes fun at you. You don't forget that. You really don't. Well, then how do you handle that? How do you handle that? Do you get mad, blow up, and as my granddaddy used to say, fly off the handle? I don't know what in the world that means. If y'all know what flying off the handle means, just tell me after this. I don't know. I think it has to do with something with getting mad, I think. How do you handle ridicule tonight? Do you fire back with ridicule? Is that what you do? Well, let me just share this with you tonight. We'll get a little deeper into this here in just a few minutes. If that's what you do, well, guess what? You're no better than the person that just did it then. Hello. Hey, all you've done is sink yourself to their level then. That's truth. See, if anybody here tonight, and we read this book of Nehemiah here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, I'm here to tell you, if anybody had the right to get mad, it was Nehemiah. I can just see him now up on a scaffolding somewhere. There's Sanballat and his crowd down there poking fun at him. I can just see him now. That South Jerusalem redneck come up in him. He climbed down off that scaffolding. He was fixing to go down there and take care of business. I can see it, you know. I can see it. And if anybody ever had the right to do it, it was this man right here. Because you know why I got to thinking about this? Did you realize this, that Sanballat and all this crowd that was there hooting and hollering and ridiculing these people for what they're doing, did you realize this? That they themselves were going to benefit from what Nehemiah and them were doing. You ever thought about that? Do you realize that whenever those people, those Sanballat and all of them were standing down there and saying, "Hey, man, you bunch of feeble Jews, you look at this mess you're making right here. No more know what you're doing than anything in the world. Ain't none of you stonemasons, none of you are carpenters or anything like this. Y'all just out here just trying to do something. You're going to make a mess of all of it." And yet and still, it's going to help every one of them. Because you think about it, if they rebuild those cities, the fortifications around the city, they and their families are protected. If all of those gates are rebuilt, now that reopens commerce and things such as this and trades that's coming in and out of the city there. It's going to benefit them. But yet and still, rather than jumping in there and saying, we're going to help, no, we're going to stand on the sidelines and ridicule and poke fun at it. Wow. Well, how do you handle that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's how you handle it. You want to write these down? Here we go. First of all, you got to remember this. You got to remember the cause of that ridicule. You got to remember it. You got to remember the cause of that ridicule. I've come to this conclusion 17 years. I'm here to tell you, if I was to quit because somebody had said something about me, had said something about somebody in my family, I'd have quit years ago. Quit. It ain't worth it. They don't sit up here and listen to all this stuff. Hey, I can get that in the world. But you got to remember the cause of this. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. I wish this was original with me. You may want to write this one down. This is good. I'll say it two or three times. This is good. Remember the cause of ridicule. That's the first point. Ridicule is a substitute for reason. Now, let's ponder that for just a second. Ridicule is a substitute for reason. Man, I wish I would have thought of that. And then in parentheses, you may want to put this outside of it. Laughter is a substitute. And I'm talking about being poking fun at somebody or something. Laughter is a substitute for logic. Ridicule is a substitute for reason. Now you think about this. Now I'm not sitting back and saying that we need to sit back and be open-minded and just allow everything to come in. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sitting back and actually reasoning out what God is leading us as individuals and as believers to do. Setting back and reasoning that out. Just like Sanballat right here, if he would have stopped for just a few moments and all those people pitching a fit with him and stopped for just a moment and reasoned out what these people were trying to do, they'd realize real quick it would have been beneficial for them as well. It would have been. But they didn't want to do that. What's easier to do? It's easier to ridicule and poke fun at somebody and something they're trying to do rather than trying to reason it out and saying, you know what? Hey, this would be better for all of us. This would be the best thing for all of us to be a part of this right here and be a part of it. That's where they were at. Remember the cause of that ridicule. The world today thinks like this. We don't have a good case based on facts. When we don't have the facts, the evidence to back up this situation, let's just make fun of it. That's what we'll do. We'll just make fun of it. That's what we'll do. If we don't have the facts, if we don't have everything laid out before us, we will just make fun of it. You know what? 9 times out of 10, what happens with that is there's an individual right at the very forefront of that is the one that's getting pointed at and made fun of. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to make fun of it and ridicule it. That's what we're going to do. Remember where that comes from. Remember how that develops, that ridicule. Remember how that stuff develops. Remember that. Secondly is this. Remember the character of those doing the ridiculing. Remember the character of them. Think about it for just a second. Go back to Sanballat right here in chapter 4 and look there with me at verse 2. Listen to this now. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men in Samaria, and he said this. Now notice he's got to get a crowd with him. He's got to get a crowd in and behind him with his thought processes, his philosophy, his theory on this situation that they're in right here. He's got to get everybody with him. What are these feeble Jews doing? I can hear them now laughing in the background. Yeah, those feeble Jews, look at them. They can't do a thing. Are they going to restore it for themselves? You know the only reason y'all doing this is because of you, so you'll have pride. You'll be able to sit back and say, look what we done. Can they offer sacrifices? Poking fun at the religion. Can they finish it in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones? Oh, sure, they can do that. And then Tobiah jumps in, the Ammonite, and I really like his. Tobiah jumps in with his two, throws his 2 cents in there. He jumps up in the back and says, oh yeah, even if a fox, after they get this thing built, even if a fox jumped up on the wall, the whole thing would come crumbling down. That's how good of workmanship they have. Remember where the ridicule and the character of those doing it. Remember that. Did you realize this tonight? Listen to me. Did you realize tonight that whenever you and I are ridiculed, follow me on this, that when you and I are ridiculed tonight, that's a pretty good place to be. You say, what? Guys, listen to me. Tonight, your pastor, I'm struggling with this. They nailed our Jesus to a cross. They killed Him. They stump-whooped Him. They drug Him through city streets and nailed Him to a cross and watched Him die. If I'm ridiculed, I'm in pretty good company. If I'm ridiculed tonight, somebody's laughing at me, somebody's making fun of me, all this type of stuff, doggone it, I'm in pretty good company tonight. I'm not saying that I'm Jesus or anything like that by no means. Don't run out here and say that. But I'm here to tell you, listen to me tonight. If somebody's poking fun at me, making fun of me, I guarantee you tonight, listen to me, I'm in good company tonight because they killed Jesus. They nailed Him to a cross. They didn't just poke fun at Him. They killed Him. I'm in pretty good company. I like that. You remember back in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41? You remember back there? Listen to what the word says here. It says, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame in His name. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember that? Peter and all of them. Boy, I mean, they were just preaching the word of God. They got called into the council. Said, listen, boys, you keep your mouth shut. Don't you say another cotton-picking word or we're coming after you. They said, hot dog, yeah, all right, man. They run out the front door. Woo-hoo! Man, yeah. We got ridiculed and we are suffering for Christ's sake. When is the last time you've heard somebody say that in the 20th or the 21st century? We're suffering for Christ. Now, we make a joke about it. Well, you know what? I've been called to the mission field in Hawaii, suffering for Jesus. You know, we make fun about that, things like that, but hey, really, when's the last time, you know, think about that for just a second. Think about that for just a second. Some may be sitting back in here and say, you know what, preacher, you know what, listen to me. They ain't nobody ever laughed at me. Ain't nobody made fun of me. I hate to break your bubble or bust your bubble tonight. The reason is you just don't know about it. I guarantee you they have. I guarantee you that they have. I have an unusual habit. You can ask my children, my wife about this. I don't know why it is. I just do it. I do it. I do it. And I love tax season for my habit. Hold on. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I share this with you. When I see anybody standing beside the road somewhere in some kind of foam outfit, I have to blow the horn at them. I don't care if they're in a hot dog suit, if they're in a Statue of Liberty suit. I just blow the horn at them. I blew the horn the other day at a slice of pizza standing side the road. I mean, I just love it. And, I have purposely, since I have been a pastor here and lived in Dothan, I have purposely found a live broadcast of one of our local radio stations just so I could blow the horn at their person standing out there in the suit. Honest to goodness, I've done that. I think it's great. But listen to this. Back when we lived in Phoenix City, you go across Phoenix, you go over Chattahoochee River right into Columbus, Georgia, and you go over, there's a new bridge built right off 14th Street there. And here a few years ago, there used to be a guy stood on the corner of the street, he and his wife did, and I'm here to tell you, listen to me, that guy got out there on the street, he's a street preacher. That's what he did. He got out there on the street, and buddy, he'd get right there at that light, there was a light coming off that bridge right there, and buddy, whenever they'd stop, he'd get his Bible, and son, he'd go to town. I mean, he'd preach those people, and his wife standing over there with a sign. For the life of me, I can't remember what the sign said. She's standing over there holding this sign up, and buddy, he's preaching the word to them. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me, I've seen people stop there. I've seen them. I'd roll down the window. I want to hear what he had to say. I'd hear him preach, and man, I could literally hear the people laughing at him. I could hear them laughing at him. I could hear them poking fun of him. But you know what? He kept right on going. I often wondered if it run through that man's mind. They're laughing at me. I am suffering for the cost of Jesus Christ. I am suffering. I count it a privilege to do that. This afternoon I was in my office, and I was looking up some things, and every once in a while I like to get some music playing and on my laptop, and I'll listen to it. I pulled up Casting Crowns and had the video up there. I don't know how many of you know who Casting Crowns are. Probably a large percentage of you in here tonight know who Casting Crowns are, but I'm here to tell you, listen to me, they don't fit the genre of present day pop stars. They just don't. You know why? They are secure. It just hit me. They are secure in who they are in Christ. I mean, believe it or not, these guys actually, they're there and they're actually clothed. they're actually there and they're actually singing and this type thing. I mean, my gracious, you know, I got to thinking about that. You know what? Listen, over the years, I remember in my life, I ain't always been 250 pounds. I ain't. I know it's hard to believe. As a high school student, I weighed 135 pounds. I was a one iron. I remember being made fun of. I remember being made fun of for the way I talk. And listen to this. I know tonight, listen to me, in the back of my mind, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I can't stand. I don't listen to these sermons on the internet. I don't listen to them. You know why? Because I got a complex or whatever you want to about the way I talk. I know tonight that I have that Adrian Rogers voice right now in my mind. You know, I'm talking. And then I turn on and listen to some of my talking. Woohoo! Hey, guys, you know what? Listen to me. God made me exactly the way I am. God created me the way I am. Southern drawl and all. Yee-haw. I am proud of it. And listen to me tonight, guys. Don't you dare walk out this room here tonight and someone begins to ridicule you on a case, on a situation like that. Don't you dare walk out of here and take that mess to heart. You stand firm and know that God created you exactly the way you are. Stand firm on that. And you stand proud knowing that God created you exactly the way you are. He never makes mistakes. He has never made a mistake and He will never make one. You are exactly the way your Heavenly Father wants you tonight. You got to remember the character of those who are doing the ridiculing. But there's a third thing tonight. Remember the company you're in when you're ridiculed. You know, Jesus faced a little bit of that in Mark 5, verse 40. The Word of God tells us this, and they laughed at Him. At Jesus. They laughed at Jesus. If you don't remember the story there, Jesus is going to heal this young girl. He's going to heal her. They laughed at Him, made fun of Him. Man, you're out of your mind. There again, I'm in pretty good company. Luke chapter 22 and verse 63 tells us this, and the men that held Jesus mocked Him, and they, as the King James Version says, they smote Him or they beat Him. Which was worse, do you think? The mocking or the beating? I can tell you in my mind what was worse. Being made fun of. You know, I kid a lot about my mom, and I was as a young child and as even as a teenager. Man, I scared that woman. I was. Daddy was something, but mama, whew. I was scared. And I'm on here to tell you tonight, listen to me, those whoopings, they only lasted for a little time. They hurt. They don't last for a little time. But I'm here to tell you there was something about mama's voice. Whew. And boy, what she said, I'm here to tell you, cut. Oh, man. Oh. And I'm here to tell you tonight, listen to me. What hurts worse is those words. Jesus Himself right here. Notice this in chapter 23, verse 35 of Luke says, and the people stood beholding and the rulers also with them saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself. If He is Christ, the chosen one of God, let Him come off that cross. I'm in pretty good company tonight when they make fun of me. And so are you tonight. But listen to the fourth thing. Listen to this. Remember the compensation for that ridicule. Matthew chapter 5 verses 11 and 12 says this, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. We don't like to hear that. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Remember this tonight, friends. Remember this tonight. The things that you and I suffer and the things that you and I go through tonight, listen to me, there is compensation for that. Jesus Himself said right here that great is our reward in heaven. You know what? We look for our reward here on earth, don't we? Rewards that will be here for a moment and then gone forever. Things that will just pass away with time. But our heavenly reward will last for eternity. Where are you placing that? The last thing I want you to see tonight is this. We got about 5 minutes. Here we go. I'm going to finish with this. Remember how to handle ridicule. Remember the conclusion of the whole matter. I love it. I love what Nehemiah told these guys back here in chapter 2, verse 20. Notice what he says there. So I answered, this is Nehemiah speaking, so I answered them and said to them, this is in response to Sanballat and Tobiah and all that group there. The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build, but you have no portion, right or memorial in any of this in Jerusalem. You know what? I just put this in Mikey boys so I can understand it. He just wiped his feet clean of them and said, boys, you ain't got nothing to do with this. Oh, that's that South Jerusalem redneck coming out right there. You boys ain't got nothing to do with this. Listen to this. It's once been said, he who laughs last, laughs best. Proverbs 1, verses 24 and 29 reads like this, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. This is God speaking, by the way. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind. When disaster and anguish comes upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Listen to this tonight, guys. Listen. I'm going to go ahead and share this with you tonight. We win. It does not matter tonight what somebody says about you. It does not matter tonight how much fun somebody makes of you tonight. It does not matter tonight. He has created you exactly the way that you are. Doggone it, stand firm in that. Hold your head high. Put your shoulders back, however you want to phrase it. Know that when you are suffering and tonight and ridicule comes your way, that you are in good company. The Bible says that you fall right in line with the prophets of old. And yes, you even fall in line with Jesus. He suffered for our account. He died on our account tonight. Paul himself, listen, he was beaten, stoned, left for dead. And yet and still, listen, tonight, whenever somebody makes fun of us, praise God, I'm in good company tonight. But listen to this, their day is coming according to this word right here. And I can only say this tonight, God help them. Their day is coming. I close with this story. As a pastor, pastors wear all kinds of hats. We do. Now, we just wear the hat sometimes. We don't have the knowledge to go with the hat. Financial guru. Construction foreman. Counselor extraordinaire. Adrian Rogers wannabe. Never forget one of my first counseling sessions years and years ago. Actually had this individual come into my office, not at this church, other churches, other church, other church. Let me say that. Not at this church, other churches, other churches. Not at this church, other churches. This individual come in there and said this, looked at me square in the face, says, I'm in a relationship with so-and-so. Call their name. He said, do you know her? Yeah, I know. Man, she makes me so mad. Whew. Conversation went on for a little while. He looked at me square in the face. He said, I'm ready to kill her. And he wasn't joking. I said, all right. I said, hold on. Now, you really need to think about what you just said. I'm going to deny you said it. Because when I sat in the witness stand. Well, no, I'm going to have to tell the truth. That's a little thing called perjury, and I don't want to be involved in that. Well, what I do makes me so cotton picking mad. I could just and still see his hands. Just, I mean, he was mad. Well, I said, calm down, first of all. I said, the Bible says, God Himself says, listen to this. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're falling into something here and this person's against you in so many ways, I'm here to tell you tonight, God's going to put something on them that you can only dream of. Guys, listen to me tonight. We're going to face ridicule. I guarantee you we're going to face ridicule. As individuals, yes. And are you sitting down for this grand view? As a church, it's coming. I'm here to tell you, listen to me tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight that whenever this church begins to grow, as it's growing, it ain't beginning, it already is. As the church is growing, I'm here to tell you tonight, they will be those who will look outside and say, my gracious, they're doing it wrong. They ain't doing it right. If people's coming to know the Lord, people's getting baptized, people's becoming part of the fellowship. Now, I'm no rocket scientist. I am not the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? But I am not the dullest one either. Something's right. Okay? And listen, as long as God's people do something for God and as long as they are stretching out their hands and trying their best to follow the lead of God Himself, there will be Sanballats everywhere that will point the finger at them and say, you're doing it wrong. Let them say it. I got one more story for you. A good friend of mine was an associate youth minister at one of the churches in Columbus, Georgia. One of the biggest Baptist church in Columbus, Georgia. Biggest. You know, if I tell you where it was at night, you know exactly where it's at. If you ever been to Atlanta, Georgia, you drove right by it. Okay? A good friend of mine was associate pastor. This church growing by leaps and bounds. I'm here to tell you, listen to me, that church is so big, they even had their own, listen to this, they had their own, not citywide, their own baseball, minor or little league baseball, little league. Not team, league. Well, people around the surrounding area said they're doing it wrong. Every kind of little thing started to crop up, even to this point. Did you know? My friend come to me, we was playing golf in Columbus one day, he come up to me and says, man, you got to sit down for this one. He said, you got to hear this. He said, you actually believe I heard this the other day? That we heard somebody say, you know what? They're so money hungry at that place, you can actually go out into the lobby with your ATM card and withdraw money out of your account just so you can go back in there and put it in the plate. I looked at him, you got to be around me a while to know I always take advantage of instances. Like I said, well, how much do you get out Sunday? he said, we don't. We don't have that. We don't. Guys, can I encourage you tonight to do this? Always do what God leads us to do. Let them laugh. Let them poke fun. Let them say what they want to say. As long as we're right in the center of God's will, who cares what they say or do? It don't matter. Okay? Tonight I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want you to stay, everybody, just stay right where you're at tonight. I want to accept Brother Allen. I want to ask Brother Allen Singley to come up here. Now I want to give you just a moment here tonight. I want to ask you right now, God's dealing with your heart about something. I could not go home tonight without doing what I'm doing right now. I want to ask you tonight, if God's dealing with your heart about something, maybe totally something different than what we've talked about here tonight, but God's dealt with your heart today, this week, about something, I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to get up right now wherever you're at. I want to ask you to make your way right down here, down front. I want to ask you to come right here tonight. I want to ask you to come here tonight. And whatever this burden is you're dragging around with you tonight, I want to ask you to come right here tonight and give it to God. That's what I want to ask you to do. Maybe you're wrestling with some of this stuff right here tonight. Maybe somebody's ridiculed you. Maybe somebody's made fun of you. Maybe somebody said something to you, hurt your feelings, maybe something like that. Hey, tonight, I want to ask you to give it to God right here tonight. Hey, you're in good company tonight. I don't say that fun, trying to be funny either. You're in good company right here tonight. They killed Jesus. I want to ask you to come right now. You need somebody to pray with you about this. I want to ask you, come on. Right now. I know it's all real quiet in here and everything, but listen to me. We are the family of God tonight. And listen to me. Somebody gets up in this place right here tonight. Hey, praise be unto God in heaven that somebody tonight is following the leadership of the Spirit of God. Come on, right now.